With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This one goes out to all you lovers out there. If you haven't seen the Bud Light commercial starring Johnny Legs, I don't think you need to go and see it just because it's a commercial. So if you're worried about spoilers for a commercial, that's a bit fucked, eh?
But we don't make judgments. We just give the spoiler warning and move on, Mish.
There is not one person on the planet that has been holding out to see this ad.
You don't know
and
that.
Is going to listen to our 40-minute podcast about...
You don't know that.
All right.
You don't know that. I'm just saying, just do the spoiler warning and we'll get on with it.
All right.
I was listening to the A24 podcast the other day and they were like, hey, before you listen, they totes give away First Reformed in the first 2 minutes. And I was like, well, then I will listen to another episode.
All right, fine. Then with all due respect, this is a spoiler warning for Johnny Legs' Bud Light commercial, entirely in Spanish. Don't say I didn't bloody warn you.
Peace. I hate the word. I got one leg is gonna fuck to the ticket.
Playing
a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a very, very, very popular podcast by two people who put this at the top of their priorities about where two people, two best friends in the entire whole world, bring a little bit of their best friend chats right in front of you, and they talk about the one, the only, Mr. John Leguizamo. A man who has been in probably like five of both of their top 50 films, 10 of their top 200, and a whole bunch of other stuff. My name is Zach Ruane. I'm one of the two hosts. You might recognize me from my Instagram, at Zachary Ruane. I'm joined, as always, by Mish Witrup, who you might recognize from...
You might recognize me from the Mission Zach Instagram, at Good. Mission Zach. I would say you might recognize me from my own personal one, at Mish Witrup.
Good.
But that doesn't have as many followers. So chances are there's more people who listen that know me from that pod.
That's good. Instagram. That's good. That's a good...
And I'm okay with it. For a while there, it bothered me. We've discussed this. For a while there, it bothered me. But now I'm fine. I don't work hard enough at my Instagram to care. You know what I mean?
There was always a worry at the back of my mind whenever you were like, oh, I'm a little bit worried that Mission Zach is more popular than at Mish Witrup, where I was like, but what's your solution to that? Because I worry that it's not doing more with the Mish Witrup Instagram.
Yeah, look, no, now I'm fine with it. I embrace it. I'm happy. I love a bit of social media.
That's great. That's
Thanks.
So good. I haven't been posting much on my social media.
I noticed that, but you do the best. You do the best Q&As.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so
They're
much.
They're so much fun. I enjoy them so much.
What are
I even
Q&As?
Comment and like, stuff. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. Like, you did the video, the video store one. That was really good.
That was a fun one. I haven't done a really creative one in a while. Maybe I'll have a think about that. They're always fun. Although one time someone said... I said, like, what do you want to see more of from me? And they said, less stories that look like this. And then they did dot, 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 like a million ellipses. And I was like, oh, because that's what happens to the story if you do too many things.
Don't listen to that troll. Listen to your friend Mish, who says, we love your stories, Zach.
Oh, they're back, baby.
Fuck yeah.
The week we recorded this, I was on my Instagram. I did a thing where I let everyone pick what I would watch for the week, what movies I would watch for the week.
I saw random... this. This was brilliant.
Thank you. Do you know what it was? And then I got over it.
I did notice. I was like, this, he's not going to keep this up. When you did it, I was like, no, he's not.
Well, do you know what? The issue was more the fact that, like, I have a partner and it's like, sorry, babe.
Exactly.
Sorry, babe, we're watching another movie about, like, a bad man in the film industry.
Well, no, we. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Yes, for those of you, for the listeners who didn't hear that story, I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know what Zach's talking about regarding that story, what was it about again?
So I did a Instagram story where I did a shout out and I said, I'm going to get people to every movie I watch this week, or I'm going to try and watch as many movies as I can this week, purely from a Wikipedia list. So Wikipedia has really, really random lists. And then I did like a little poll and we landed on films featuring fictional films, probably the one I was like least interested in. But when I went through the list, there's a lot of great films. And then I didn't
vote for that. I voted for something else and I don't remember what it was, but I was
cut. Can I tell you, I really wanted to watch the film Bubba Hotep, which is a film from the early 2000s about a man claiming to be Elvis Presley, like as an old man in an old man's home. He's claiming to be Elvis Presley, even though, like, and that he faked his own death, and then no one believes him, and then an ancient Egyptian mummy attacks the old people's home, and then it's down to him and a black man pretending that he's claiming to be John F. Kennedy, who also had his death faked. Those two people, then old people have to fight the Egyptian mummy that attacks their...
Zach, that sounded like a three-year-old's story. Like, so what ended up happening was, so firstly, like, we went down the street and that's when I saw the cat, and the cat was meant to be a black cat, but it ended up being a ginger cat, which is exactly the same as my teacher's cat. And my teacher, she did kisses with the principal.
Can I ask, does the story sound like that, or did my telling of the story sound like that, or both?
Well, no, the story does not sound like something that should come out of a three-year-old's mouth.
Right, but the...
presentation of said
story. One of those things where I go, it's a great elevator pitch for a B movie, but also it's actually very hard to elevator pitch. I guess the elevator pitch is an old Elvis that faked his own death fights an Egyptian mummy in an old people's home. That's pretty, that's a good elevator pitch.
Do you know what's interesting about Elvis?
What? And then I'll tell you why I brought up Bubba Hotep in the first place.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. What's interesting about
Elvis? We'll do Elvis first. Lots of movies made about Elvis's life. None of them are that great.
But we're, you know, crossing our fingers for the Baz Luhrmann one.
No.
Have you not heard about this?
Yeah. What?
So.
Is John in it?
No, he's not, unfortunately. But it's quite the cast. I'm going to Google it.
What the fuck? I didn't know about this.
Yeah, no, he was making it in... he's making it in Queensland at Movie World.
What, currently? They're currently filming it.
They've already filmed it. You know how Tom Hanks got COVID-19 in Australia?
Yes.
That was because he was in Australia, because he's playing Colonel Tom, the Elvis's famously like...
Get out of town.
So, yeah, like Tom Hanks is playing Colonel Tom. And then, like, Elvis is the have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yes.
One of the family, like the sexy boy from the family that rides the horse and Brad Pitt beats
Who's
up.
Who's playing Priscilla?
Someone. I don't know. A young Australian actress, I think. Look, I don't know. I'm excited. I think
I'm excited.
It's a great story for Baz Luhrmann to tell.
Well, there was an Elvis movie that I didn't hate, that starred the hot guy from Bend It Like Beckham. He's also from that tennis movie with Scarlett Johansson. I've forgotten his name, Jonathan something. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Like
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
But I don't think he's good. He's too brooding for Elvis.
Yeah.
Elvis
100%.
This guy, I mean, look, if Baz Luhrmann's going to cast anyone well, he's going to cast... like a sexy young.
If you were cast in an Elvis movie, what character would you like to play?
Like a Colonel Tom, or no? I mean, my dream, as always, is to play like a two-scene person in that. Like, Say, that Elvis kid, he's got gumption. And then that's it. Like,
yeah, I'd love to play one of the women that acts opposite him in one of his awful films.
Yeah.
That would be great.
And then you do, so it would be like, it would cut to and you'd do a scene from the movie. So you get to recreate a scene from the movie. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be like, cut. And you, and then you'd be like, Elvis, you forgot all your lines. And he'd be like, it would be, whatever. And then he'd
no,
walk
ideally,
off.
No. Wrong. Right. Ideally, I would film a scene from the movie, so mm-hmm. I do get to recreate. That's mad fun. But then when they call cut, Elvis comes up to me and he's like, you've got something, kid. You were fantastic. And I was like, oh, well, thank you, Mr. Presley. And he says, call me Elvis. And then it cuts to a montage of us having sex.
With Austin Butler.
Sure.
Who played Tex Watson. I Googled him.
Yes, that's the role I would like.
The casting of Elvis, I think, is really good. I think he's cast Elvis really, really well. He's gone with a note, and like there was a lot of people with bigger names. Like he's not a no name, like he's like a sexy boy, but like I'd not heard of him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him.
Because there was talk of like Harry Styles and stuff, and I think that would be too distracting.
That sucks for Harry though, doesn't it?
Nah, he's fine.
Oh, yeah, I think he's
doing other stuff. I just don't think he would make a good Elvis. Like, it has to be someone that's like, like you don't have too much of a picture in your head of who they are.
Who would you, if you had to do a biopic, who do you think that you could realistically be cast as?
Oh, realistically be cast? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm trying to think.
Me neither.
I could maybe do like a Kevin Rudd with some work.
I could play anyone's funny sidekick.
I don't think I'm a good enough actor. I think it's a really hard challenge to play. Like, I'm not even good at impressions. So the idea of an impression plus depth. It would have to be someone like that you don't really know. Like it would have to be a side person that you don't really know that well.
Yeah.
Going back
about 10 minutes, why did you mention an Elvis film?
So I really wanted to watch Baba Hotep because I remember that movie being like really good, like a lot better than it sounds. It had a lot of heart, and I remember it being a really good film, but I haven't seen it in like nearly 20 years, and I was like really keen to rewatch it, and I'd already had this idea of asking people to tell me what to watch, but I was like, fuck, I'd love to watch Baba Hotep. So I loaded the poll in Baba Hotep's favor. So there was a poll of Elvis movies, there was a poll of Egyptian mummy movies. I found every list that Baba Hotep was
so
on.
So funny.
And to my great to my great frustration, I ended up with movies. But I watched a great couple of movies that I had not seen yet, and one I hadn't seen in a long time. So
here's a thought. One day, why don't we relaunch Recaps? Because we just got it sitting there. We can put stuff in there if we want to. This is Recaps with Mission Zach, obviously. This is our 2018 piece de resistance.
2009 is the bit.
Yeah, 2009 is the bit. We could relaunch it.
Yeah.
And do Elvis films.
That's fun.
As if it's in 2009.
That's fun. But you know that how staunchly I am of the, like, you've got two choices with a Recaps relaunch. It's either season one of Australian Idol or season three of Grey's Anatomy, the Denny season Grey's Anatomy.
I've already put my vote in for Grey's Anatomy. I'll do a poll on Instagram if people would prefer us to do Australian Idol.
We did not have the time to do two podcasts.
I know.
Don't be doing polls until they're ready to
I
do
know.
Two.
Maybe one day we'll want to.
I really want to. I really love the idea. There's Denny. He's here to stay. I got bets they're going to be renamed
I could watch
to
an
Denny's
episode
Anatomy.
Of Grey. I could watch an episode of Grey's Anatomy every night for 2 months.
That's fair. You love Grey's Anatomy. And
I
loved Grey's Anatomy.
Correction. Nobody loves Grey's Anatomy. No one loves that show. But a lot of people binge it. It is... It is that no one loves crack. right? Mm. No one's like, oh, I love crack, but it's addictive. Mm. And it's like you can't, it's got this hook. I stopped watching Grey's Anatomy at season 8. Oh, and then
seasons.
A few lockdowns ago, my housemate and I picked it up again and watched to season 11. And I have not watched past that because it's too much. It's too much Grey's. I watched seasons 1 to 8, like, I don't know, years ago. But I just, you do get over it. But it's nobody just watches an episode here and there. It's like you sit down and you smash it out.
But no one
loves it.
I haven't watched Grey's Anatomy since it was like, I think every couple of years I'm surprised that Grey's Anatomy is still going. Like, I think of Grey's Anatomy as a show from 2007. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it blows my mind that it's still going.
There's so much as unrealistic. Spoiler alert. And also, like, I don't know this for sure, but spoiler alert. Every single person in Meredith's life dies, and dramatically.
Mm.
It's like you would quit. You would quit and go seek therapy. You would take your husband's million-dollar fortune and move away and just go, everyone in my life is dead. You wouldn't just press on and keep doing tonsil removals and, like, fucking weird heart surgeries. You wouldn't just press on.
I've always wanted to do is, like, just get my hands on, like, become the showrunner of a soap opera for a few weeks. And the storyline I do is that all of them, like, it turns out that everyone in, like, Summer Bay, there was, like, a gas leak. The entire time there was this really subtle gas leak that meant that everyone in Summer Bay had, like, a memento-style short-term memory of about 2-3 weeks. So it turned out the entire time everyone in Summer Bay could only remember about 2 weeks in the past, which seems to kind of be the pattern with shows 100%, like that.
100%, because they never bring up the dead people.
No, because it's like they've got, like, it's very, but the idea that someone turns off this gas leak and then everyone in Summer Bay remembers everything.
Oh, my God.
The idea of, like, all the people, everything that's ever happened to them.
And
it's
like,
just the trauma of, like, the last 20 years.
Oh, my God, Zach, that is genius. Copyright like, that. That is genius.
They've already got the copyright to Summer Bay, you know what I'm saying?
That's so good, dude.
It's just this big reveal that's, like, the whole time.
That is the best horror movie ever. That is the best horror film ever.
Just this, like, it's not even a, yeah, it's like a psychological, it's like a black swan.
Yeah, a psychological thriller, yeah. It's just fucked.
Lou is just like, oh my God.
That's great. Oh my God, that has just taken me to places like, I want to quit my jobs, I want to move out, I want to make that a reality.
But how?
I don't know how I would do it, but, like, you have to.
God, you've got to just get a show that's, like, on the ropes, like, right at the end, and they're like, we're done, and you've got to go, I will personally fund. You've got to be, like, this at this point a billionaire. You've got to be, like, at Richard Branson level, and you've got to say, I will personally fund one more season of your soap opera if you do this plot.
Fuck, that's good, Zach. That's the best thing you've ever said.
No, it's not. I appreciate your commitment to positivity, but it's not that good of an idea.
No, I love that.
I was just going to say the reason I fell off. I wanted to tell you the reason I fell off my films without films, but you go, if you've got something. I just feel like
I was gonna start talking about the Bud Light commercial stuff.
Yeah, no. So I'll just say this. I'll just wrap this up, and I hopefully by the time you listen to this, I'll have gotten back on track with it. But the reason I fell off was one night I took a bit of a break when I was, like, doing the poll of other things. One of them was. Films with the longest production time, and there was a documentary on there that I wanted to watch for a while, and my partner really likes documentaries, so we watched that. We were like, let's take a break from the films featuring fictional films for one night. And then we watched this film called The Act of Killing, I think. Mm-hmm. Which is,
I feel like I've heard of that film.
It is. I won't go into it. Not for this podcast.
Is it on Stan?
It's on DocPlay. I don't know where else it's on.
Oh, okay.
It is Mish, one of the most powerful documentaries I've ever seen, but unquestionably the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, God.
The most upsetting thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
The act of killing.
The act of killing. It's so full on, right? And then the next day I was like, okay.
That's what they'd change Home and Away's title to once they turn the gas off and everyone fucking.
No. Not
they change
not
the song
this
to like, closer each day.
Yeah, something like that. Closer. Oh, that's good. The memories, they're closer to me each day. They're more vibrant.
Yeah.
And anyway, so then after that, we were like, that was really depressing. Let's, like, I'm not really in the mood for a documentary. So then the next day we watched a film called The Assistant, which is this really quiet film basically around, like, themes of, like, also one of the most, like, a very depressing film.
Oh,
a
God.
So then we were like, fuck this. Like each night after that, we were so depressed because with lockdown and that, we've ended up just watching Million Dollar Listings New York.
Yeah, which good. Is that's the Zach I know and love. That's the one.
So just like each night, I've gone like, could we? I've sort of said maybe we could watch, you know, Big Fat Liar, or we could watch Sound of Music, or. We could watch a few more episodes of Million Dollar Listings, and each time we've just gone, yeah, let's just watch Million Dollar Listings.
That's very funny.
And then we've watched Million Dollar Listings, right? And that's our trash show. Like, I love reality because I love to hate real estate agents. Like, real estate agents are the worst. And if you're a real estate and you're listening, you are. And I just, no, you're not. You're the one that's good. Anyway, you tell yourself that.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm joking. They're all right. There's good ones, I'm sure. Haven't met one yet, but I'm sure there's... I'm joking. I'm sure there's good ones.
No, but look, I'm going to be... like, as you were saying that, I was like, I can't dispute it. I don't know any good ones either.
If I know you and I just... You haven't come into my head yet. And also probably, you know. But no, I love hate watching those shows, right? I love those shows. I also just love looking at big, beautiful houses. Like, there's just this, like, cognitive dissonance going on when I watch those shows because it's like, I love these big, beautiful houses. I hate the people that are selling them, but also that I've come... Anyway, that's the show we've been watching. And then, get this, we just happen to be watching season 9 or whatever. Like... And they're like, hey, look at this big apartment. And they're like, hey, you want to shake hands? And they're like, oh, no, I don't think we can anymore. And they're like, well, we can't sell houses anymore because it turned out that the season was filmed last year and the show I was watching to forget about COVID-19. They're literally talking about COVID-19. And they're like, it's just literally from a year ago. And they're like, well, I don't know. You can't shut a city down. And then they're like, oh, it turns out you can. And I'm like,
oh, Zach, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's horrible.
It's so funny because it's not even like something that's good about it. It's not like something that's like enriched. Like, it's just watching these vacuous people be like, oh, no, I can't sell my million-dollar homes. And then some of them are really upset for really legitimate reasons and you're like, oh, no, you're a human and you're upset and stressed about
it. Oh, fuck.
It's so funny.
I'm sorry that happened to you. Like, all my brain can take is Drag Race and old Queer Eye episodes. Like,
you've got to just make sure you're not watching from last year because then at some point you're going to be watching them, like, talking into a mobile phone being like... Well,
it's like what that happened with the Australian Bachelor. Like, they filmed a few episodes and everything was fine. They were at the mansion, they were meeting him, they were doing tasks, they were doing kisses. And then all of a sudden the next episode they had to do a warning. It's like, due to COVID-19, the Bachelor has changed slightly and the rest of the show was done through Zoom.
Oh.
I didn't watch that scene, but it was so funny to watch, like, promo episodes and stuff of them just having, like, dates via Zoom. So funny.
It's literally just like every reality show every reality show about four episodes in from that year, about four episodes in, is just suddenly people talking to their camera being like, well, I'm in my house. Oh, look, I cooked a bread. This is not the purpose of this show. Anyway, that was my funny little aside.
I love that so much.
Thanks.
We should, however, talk about the Bud Light commercial.
The Bud Light commercial.
Bud Light being an American beer. American beer. That my dad, who was from New Jersey, used to say, tasted like fucking piss.
That's good.
Thank you. So that's my memory of Bud Light, is that my dad said it's one of the worst beers in the world. But Johnny Legs did a commercial for it, so now it's one of my favourites. I'm on Blurb this week, but as I do with many of Johnny Legs' Spanish bits and pieces, I refer to my friend Sophie, who speaks Spanish, currently lives in Panama.
Wow.
And she was able to interpret the whole ad for me. So
wow.
I've got the entire ad here. Go, I should probably state, I think I already have, that this entire ad is in Spanish.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what was going on, although you can kind of pick up on
I mean, it's pretty
clear.
You can kind of pick up on what they're, like, plots of ads are pretty. You know.
But I'm a lazy git, so I asked my friend.
No, I love this. I'm excited
translate.
To see if I was right in my interpretation of the ad.
I am reading this directly from, so I messaged my friend Sophie and I just said, please help, and put a link to this ad. She wrote back, ha ha ha, okay. And then she wrote this. Shout out Sophie.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So Johnny Legs arrives at a bar. He tries to order a Bud Light from his friend Tito. Tito and his friends ignore Johnny Legs and offer to buy another Bud Light for the pretty young woman at the bar. The voiceover says, there are some people that would do anything for a cold and refreshing Bud Light. And in walks Johnny Legs in drag. He says, what a beautiful woman that's arrived at happy hour. His friends order a Bud Light for him. He says to the camera, shameless, I know. Let the mumbo keep playing and the Bud Light's flowing.
That's great.
So that was the ad that we saw. It was a nice little revival of Johnny Legs in drag because he makes a fucking beautiful drag queen. But, yeah, that was the ad. Bit of fun, I suppose.
There is, from my limited experience working in advertising, ad people are like liar birds and they like to steal from culture. And there's nothing they love more than when they can cast the person they're stealing from in their ad.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon they came up with this ad and they're like, think John Leguizamo in Tu Wong Fu.
And then the ad people went, like, I could probably ask him, you know.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, my God. But then if they hadn't have gotten him, they would have happily just put, like,
anyone.
Alfred Molina in the role.
Oh, my God. I wish.
We couldn't get John Leguizamo.
So we got Alfred Molina. Oh, my God. I would die to see Alfred Molina in this role. I would like to make a quick commentary on ability for women to get drinks at bars. I don't know if this means anything. But no one ever bought me a fucking drink at a bar. But also, when I was going to bars and I was 19 years old, I was an awkward little fuck. So I just wanted to say, like, I just wanted to put that out there, that if you're trying to score free drinks at a bar, I couldn't do it either. Know what I mean? Anyway.
I got when Pud came out, I got more free drinks at bars one time.
Ooh.
One time an army man, like, shouted me drinks. He was like, I love Pud. And he shouted me lots of drinks. He's like, all the boys at the back of the base, they love Pud. There was nothing, like, he wasn't, there was not, he just was like, I'll buy you beers. I was like, thank you so much. Thank you for your service.
Was he flirting?
No, not at all. There was none of that.
I wish it ended with you two having like a tender kiss in the rain or something before he went off again, never to be seen for 4 years.
Yeah, no, he was just like, he was like, I love pud. And that was my one experience. It might have actually been a little earlier than pud. I think I think it was more maybe like 1999. It was an Auntie Donna YouTube video that he really liked, and it was the one time I've ever had drinks bought for me, and it very clearly wasn't any like reciprocal,
yeah,
like goobiness. It was just like, I want to buy you drinks because I like what you do, and I was like, this is great.
Oh, love that side of fame.
Well, not fame, just like having a video on the internet.
I don't drink anymore. But back when I was like in my late teens, early 20s, I had this thing I used to do when I'd go to bars and I wanted to get drunk, but I didn't have a lot of money because back then I worked part-time in retail. I don't know what that's like now, but I didn't have any money. And I used to do this thing. I don't know who taught it to me. It's probably very well known, but you go up to the bartender and you're like, okay, I have $10. I have $15. It's all I have. Get me as drunk as you can for this amount of money. Surprise me with what you give me. And often the bartender would get really excited by such a request and would give you more booze than $10 worth. So just throwing that out there to my legal aged friends who, well, no one can go to bars at the moment in Melbourne, but when you can, try it out. They might tell you to fuck off. Or they might just be like, a lot of the time it was just like, we can give you a gin and tonic. It's like, okay.
But if you can appeal to their ego, you might get... One of the great things about cafes and bars is one of the people behind that bar fancies themselves as being better than their boss.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever ran a bar, this is how I would do it, because they don't understand like that their boss has to like look at spreadsheets and stuff. They're just like, God, I would give everyone free alcohol.
Don't you reckon? What is the most appealing part about being a bartender to you? Like, what makes you go, that would be great? Because there is so little in that job that I personally would be good at. You're on your feet fucking constantly, like running around. You have to remember a bunch of shit. Mm. It's real, like, it's in a busy environment, it's really easy for you to break stuff. I would break so many glasses, like, and you'd be dealing with drunk fucks. And it's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was a busboy for like 4 weeks in Ballarat, and I was very bad at it. I got let go.
Were you really?
Yeah.
What year?
Third year. So I collected the glasses, and I wasn't good
when
at it.
When I lived anyway. With you?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I did not pay attention to your life at all. I don't remember that.
3 weeks of me being a busboy. Yep.
Okay.
And I was really bad at it.
Okay.
But the thing that would appeal to me about working in a bar is depends on the bar. If it's not like a cocktail bar, if it's like pretty like much these are the drinks we serve, it's pretty easy. Like compared to like being a waiter, it's pretty like, all right, let me get you a drink. There you go. And it's like one person at a time and they kind of figure it out themselves. Like it's not like you have to like remember who, like when you're a waiter, you have to remember who you serve. Like there's something appealing to like you figure it out. There's something about bars where it's like, you figure it out. I'm just going to come up to the bar and whoever does their order at me louder gets their drink. And then I don't have to remember that many drinks, just the ones that I'm doing right now. Like, I don't know. I can see the appeal. I personally wouldn't.
I reckon I'd be so bad at it.
No, I wouldn't be good at it.
So there's this really good TikTok of this woman in America who does role plays with people asking for drinks and stuff. Like, she'll be like, hi, can I take your order? I've been out of the game for a long time. That was the worst American accent ever.
That's
she's
okay.
like, hi, can I take your order? And then the camera changes and it's her again, but she's acting as the customer. And she's like, hi, I'd love a white Russian, please. She's like, no worries, I'll get that for you. And then she makes a white Russian on her TikTok so you can see what goes into it. So it's like, it's not only like a recipe show, but it's a bit of role play, which is real cute.
Do you know my absolute favorite type of little role play TikTok.
Tell me,
can't believe I it's hard because it's not something the For You page would ever really pick up on, because it's when they do a little For You page interaction, but then they don't know how to like give it a kicker. So it'll be like, dude, what are you doing investing in? What are you doing putting all your money in the bank? You should invest in property. What? No, I can't afford property. Like, nah, it's easy. Just do it like this. And then there's always like...
You've sent me these.
I've sent you these.
You've sent me these.
And then it's always...
One night at like 1 a.m. you were like, what are you doing? And I was like, watching Survivor. And I said, what are you doing? And you sent me like 5 videos of this guy.
But this guy is the best example, right? But there's many of these, right, where they go... What I find particularly funny, that's funny, right? To be like giving like unsolicited advice about property investment. Like that's exactly what Australia needs right now. But the idea, but what really tickles me about him, and there's a few like this, is where they don't know how to end it. So like a good one will just sort of go, wow, not even wow, that's good advice. It's like, what are you doing? I'm just doing this. No, this is how you invest. Bam. And that's it. And then they're out. But he would do these videos where he'd go, no, this is what you've got to do. Then he'd go into it. And then he'd always have like one or two more interactions after that. Wow, that's a really good point. He's like, thank you. That's him with himself. Like not knowing how to kick the little... Wow, that's a really good point. I'm going to try
that's
that.
That's so funny.
That's okay.
Oh, TikTok has become, I need to make one because I'm now really into it, but I'm loving TikTok at the moment because my algorithm is so fucked up. My For You TikTok are fucked. I've become obsessed with this woman. She'd probably be in her late 30s, early 40s. She lives in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne, I think.
Amazing.
And she makes food for her kids on a budget. So she'd be like, hi there, TikTok friends. Who wants to make a carbonara? Come with me. And then she'll be like, this is what you use. And it's just like bacon, and it's just fucked bacon. She's like, oh, thick and cream. And it's just, and she just makes like the fucking stodgiest looking carbonara. And she's just so happy. And I love her. I love her. And between every recipe, she like a troll will be like, that food looks like cack shit. And she'll be like, she'll reply being like, well, I'm not having any trolls on my channel. She's the best. I have to find her. And she says beautiful is beautiful because that's her thing.
Oh,
I'm obsessed with her.
Is she the one that does the is she the one that does the little one of her kids loves Minions?
No.
Because I get
no,
one.
This is really low budget. This is not like, this isn't fancy.
No,
at
this
all.
Is exactly the same. There's one that comes up on my For You more than I like, I don't know why, but it's just a mum that's like one of her kids loves. So I've made the toilet a little bit Minions themed because I'm potty training my boy. So we've got the little Minions potty thing there, and there's a Minion toy. And
the I've Minion got, drink?
I don't know. Yeah, no, not there, but she themes lots of things to Minions. And then she's like, and here's a little A4 thing I printed out with a Minion saying, make sure you aim.
It's like, oh, my okay. God, that's so cute.
But it also has that energy of like, why am I, lady, why are you showing me your toilet?
Oh, so fucked.
Like, I don't want to see your toilet,
so
lady.
So fucked. That's what my TikTok's going to be, though. When I make a TikTok, it's just going to be fucked. I can't wait because I'm a genuine fan of some of these people. That investment guy you sent me, I love him.
He's so funny.
What a psycho.
What are you doing? That's not the way to invest.
We should probably just talk for the last 5 minutes on the commercial.
Mm.
What do you have to say about it?
I don't know. What am I meant to say? I reckon
I'll leave
Johnny,
a link. I'll leave a link
I'm really
somewhere.
Happy to see Johnny. Like, I reckon Johnny would have made so much money from that ad. Not his biggest payday, but like
pre-Ice Age, it would be up there though.
Yeah, like I think like it would pay more. That ad would have paid more than certain feature films he's done in a similar time frame. Like it's like. Think like when you think about it, his agent would have like they would have been like, "We want John Leguizamo," and his agent would have just been like, "Doing one of his most iconic roles, not for
nothing
less than you know like And I reckon they would have gotten quite a bit for it.
I will say this. That it's sexy Luigi. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also him having a bit of a bash at comedy, which we all know is Johnny Legs' favourite.
Mm.
And as much as it's Johnny Legs' favourite, in terms of the films and stuff he makes a lot more dramas. So I'm glad he got to have a little bit of fun doing a bit of the funny stuff. Because, yes, it's sexy Luigi, but when he comes out at the start and asks his friends for a Bud Light, he has a funny wig and a Hawaiian shirt.
Mm.
How many Leguistamos, Zach?
4.5.
Mm. I'm going to go 4.
Mm.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go 4.5. I'm going to go 4.5. Why didn't it get 5, Zach?
Because it's an ad.
Yeah.
He didn't do it because it's an ad.
Yeah, it's an ad.
Like, he would have done Captain Vegetable for free.
We gave the Pepsi commercial very high, didn't we?
Pepsi commercial was better than this.
No, and also because the Pepsi commercial, he was John Leguizamo.
Yeah. And also, I think this of his commercials, is this the third commercial we've done?
Yes.
This is my least favourite of his commercials.
You preferred the single care commercial?
Yeah, he's been good to his mum.
I liked this one more than the single care one, no offence.
I love all of them. I just thought it was really nice that he was being good to his mum. And I think it's really, I think sometimes we forget about older people in our society. And I think it's really lovely the way he looks after his mum. He makes sure she's getting looked after. He makes sure she's getting the best deal for herself. Mm. The American healthcare system would be amazed at the best of times. And if you're ESL, it would be so challenging. So to have, handsome Dad Guzamo there helping you out,
what a good guy. But what's great about the Bud Light commercial it was about problem solving.
Uh-huh.
And it was like sexy Luigi found himself in what could have been an incredibly embarrassing situation. Mm-hmm. One where someone like, 19-year-old Mish, if I'd found myself in that situation, I would have gone home and cried for 2 days.
Because you weren't getting your free Bud Lights.
No, because my friends were being a bit rude because they ditched me for a very, very pretty girl.
Oh, is that what happened?
Did you not listen to what I said?
No, I just missed that bit.
So he comes down, he's like, hey, can I have a Bud Light? And they all ignore him and prefer to hang out with the pretty girl.
I thought he was just a strange man.
No, his name was his friend's name was Tito.
Yeah, right. I missed that.
I think
that
were his boys. I missed that layer.
I just thought he was like, hi, could I have a Bud Light to random people? Hey, that elevates the ad for me a little. But also it loses, it gains a point, but then loses that, gains a half point and loses that half point immediately. And I'll tell you why. Because how do they then not recognize him in drag? That's crazy.
Because it's not real. It's like, yeah. Like with Batman, it's like, how do you not know that's George Clooney? How do you not know that's Val Kilmer? Because it's a movie.
But every single day, there are thousands, if not millions, of middle-aged men helping their mums get the best deal at the pharmacy because they don't speak English as a first language.
Yeah.
Every single day. There's truth to the single care commercial. This, it's fantasy, it's fun, it's...
Maybe in times like this, that's what I need.
Absolutely, and that's true, but I think that what we see in the single care commercial is hope within reality. In trying times, we see hope. Sure, the Bud Light commercial is frivolous fun...
All right, this is our listeners' homework. Go and watch the single care commercial with Johnny Legs. Watch the Bud Light commercial with Johnny Legs. Get back to us and let us know which one you preferred.
Are
you hashtag team single care or hashtag team Bud Light?
That's fantastic. That's really strong. And then we all agree the Pepsi ad is the best ad.
Oh, yeah. That's if someone came at me and was like, I actually think that the single care commercial was better than the Pepsi ad, fuck off.
Here's what I'm going to say. The Pepsi ad is beautiful. Pepsi ad is beautiful. I feel like it encapsulates his solo work. It encapsulates so much of who he is and the impact he's made on the career in one ad. The Pepsi ad is reigns supreme for that reason. Single Care Ad shows a side of Johnny Leguizamo we have not seen in any of his other projects to this point. I've not seen
Mummy's Boy,
Son of Mother, you know, and I think there is a bit of that in his earlier stage plays, but we've not seen them yet. It's a side of John Leguizamo I've not seen before. This Bud Light ad, fun and frivolous though it may be, it isn't as good as Tu Wong Fu. It's the only one that doesn't offer us something new.
Okay. All right. I get what you're saying.
That's my final defense.
I hear what you're saying. Some of us just like a bit of familiar, I guess.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. But that's my final defense. Mish, do you have anything else to say? But then it's over to you, our two listeners, to DM Mish and let her know.
I would like everyone to put into context when I watched this ad. I'm currently in a lockdown situation. I wanted fun. I wanted frivolous. And Johnny Legs gave that to me in spades with the Bud Light commercial. And for that, I respect the frivolity. Mm-hmm. I respect it. I'm not saying that Single Care doesn't mean something, but maybe the Bud Light commercial means something to me.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. Mish, you've raised a great point. And if you believe in what Mish is saying, that's hashtag Bud Light.
Team Bud Light.
But if, on the other hand, you agree with me, hashtag
Team Single Care.
Team Single Care. Team Bud Light, Team Single Care. But we don't need a hashtag Team Pepsi, because we all know the Pepsi commercial.
Because we're all Team Pepsi.
We're all Team Pepsi.
Zach, thank you.
Hey, Mish, it's been an absolute pleasure. Every day I come onto this podcast and I go, what are we going to talk about? Because I never know.
Imagine if we had to do this every day.
That's what radio people have to do.
Fucking hell.
Maybe one day we'll be radio people. Mish, do you have anything to promote?
No. No, I don't.
No worries.
Well, do you have anything to promote?
Do you mind if I promote my new single?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
So I have done a cover of Lonely by Roy Orbison. It's available on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get
Give us a bit of a taste.
I meant crying.
Yeah, I know. Give us a bit of a taste.
I've been crying over you. Crying over you. But if you want to hear more, you got to head to Spotify. And it's under my performing name, which is Roy Orbison.
Orbison. Bye, Roy.
Do you know that in answer to your question, I think I could do a good Roy Orbison. If I were to ever do...
Well, you fooled me just then. That was such a touching performance.
For the joke.
It was like my eyes glazed over and I was looking at Roy Orbison.
Mish, thank you so much.
Thanks, Roy. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.